The New Testament reading from the lectionary today is Luke 9, verses 51 to 62. In this short homily, I will only look at verses 57 to 62, and they're short, so let me go ahead and read them. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another Jesus said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me go first and bury my Father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." These are some of the hard sayings of Christ. Left to ourselves, we might skip over them. But that's one of the advantages of the lectionary. In following our readings for the morning and evening offices in the Anglican Church, we encounter almost all of Scripture. And these verses are about encounters. In them, Christ encounters three men. The first one makes a big promise. He says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." But Christ answers, "If that's true, don't expect life's riches. Christ, God incarnate, not only did not live a comfortable life, but one that most of us could not imagine. No permanent home, constantly on the move. Christ, who made everything, had no home of his own, but relied on others." Any idea that the reason for receiving Christ into your life is so that he will bring you material blessings here on earth or bring you advantages in society is simply wrong. Christ reminds us of what to expect in this world: possible hardship, contempt, social stigma. He reminds us to count the cost. But what we do receive is eternal life and joy with him. In the second encounter, Christ makes the first move. He says to the man, "Follow me." And while the man hesitates at first, he seems to accept the call later. But first, he makes an excuse. "Let me go and bury my father." Now, it's likely what is meant here is that he had an aging father who needed tending to. Jesus is directly calling this man to be a minister. Imagine that. He is calling the man to trust him and that Jesus will provide. Does Christ want his father to be neglected? Or is Christ calling this man to do something improper? Of course not. That's impossible. He's calling the man to trust and to not delay. In the third encounter, the man says he wants time to talk to his friends before following Jesus. He wants to go back and set his affairs in order. He seems to have the affairs of the world heavy on his mind. Furthermore, he's exposing himself to temptation. What can we expect but that his friends are going to try to talk him out of dropping everything and following Christ? So, by way of warning, Christ gives the wonderful image of putting our hand to the plow while looking back. I can tell you, from the few times I've plowed a field with a tractor, that's a super bad idea. For one thing, you can't see where you're going, and you're likely to plow the wrong ground. And for planting seeds, we need to first plow the right soil, so we can't look back like Lot's wife. These encounters remind us of two important things. Number one, don't second-guess Christ's timing. When Christ calls you, it is because he selected you before the beginning of time. Do we really think he's not thought it through? Do we think we know what is better for us than Jesus does? Because that's what's behind the hesitation in these encounters. And second, trust Jesus. When the worries of this world hold us back, simply trust and you can count on him.